Good morning, and happy 4th of July weekend. Always enjoyed 4th of July, especially as a kid. As I get older, I love it in a different way, you know, just for what it really means deep down inside. But I remember as a kid, we used to go to Lake Redhoe over at Sheraton and have a picnic with some friends and stuff and go swimming. That was a big thing. I was just a country kid and never got to do much. You know, that's how tough a life I had. But anyway, we had a good time over there. And I don't think you can swim over there anymore legally. We drove by there one time. Is there beaches you can go in over there? I don't think there is, but anyway, it's over by Sheraton. But I want to talk today. My message is about don't quit. Don't quit. Sometimes, you know, life can get a little dicey, kind of hard. And I want to talk about first from a patriotic point of view. The first part of my message is going to be patriotic, and then I'm going to go into some scripture and things like that, you know, about some Bible characters, and then, you know, what, you know, this means to us about not being a quitter. This country, or great country, shall I say, that we live in, was not founded by a bunch of quitters. If you've ever studied history, you kind of see what they went through. Our country was founded by people that was filled with purpose, driven by values, and empowered by faith. And that's something that's left out of the textbooks, you know, that our children, you know, are reading. You know, the founders believed they had a mandate from God to start a country that was free from government control. And they wanted to build a place where people could fulfill their God-given potential. And if they would have failed, we would all be speaking the King's English instead of American, you know what I'm saying? You know, we'd have been speaking these and thous and, you know, eating a bunch of fish and chips and stuff, but, you know, now we have hamburgers and all these other things, and that's good. Now, if they would have failed, it would have been a difficult time. They did the heavy lifting, in my opinion. You know, if you really study history, most, if not all, of the founders, you know, really suffered greatly. And they expended all of their personal financing to be able to see this country get started. So they dove in all the way. So I believe if they did the heavy lifting, surely we should be able to do the follow through in keeping this country the way that, you know, they intended. And really, I believe God started this country. I believe that God had his hand, his sovereign hand, because he wanted to do great things through this land and through the people of this land. And I believe that, you know, Americans have done a lot of great things. We've done some bad things too. But overall, I believe that a sovereign God had a great plan for us. And that's something that we as a people, especially Christians, need to hold on to. We're going to look at a few scriptures today, so I'm going to try to go fast as possible. First one I want to look at is Philippians 3, 13 and 14, just to kick this off. It says, "Brethren," this is the Apostle Paul speaking, "I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal of the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit here today. We break and bind up anything that tries to hinder the flow of your Spirit. Lord, we just thank you for the anointing. That anointing that is so powerful, Lord, that it breaks all the bad thinking, all the things over our life, the strongholds that try to hold us back. Lord, I pray that you just stir up the gift in me, and I want to use it for your glory and not my own. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, my first point that I want to see here in a minute, but, you know, this scripture here, it stirs me up on the inside to have a divine dissatisfaction. A divine dissatisfaction. To me, divine dissatisfaction is that I'm satisfied with my God, but I am dissatisfied with where I am now in my walk because I know that God has so much more for me. And I believe that we need to adopt that thinking, knowing that God has a plan for each of our lives. And I know that we're entering that way. We're taking steps to get there. But deep inside, we need to have a hunger. We have to have something that draws us. You know, there's a difference between motivation. You know, motivation is when you try to force somebody to do something. But, you know, but we have to have something on the inside of us that wants to draw, and that's called inspiration. We're inspired. That draws us to the call of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. So my first point is the idea that freedom is not for quitters. And like I mentioned, we're talking about our forefathers here for this first little part, talking about the 4th of July. Today's the 5th of July, but you know, it's still, we're celebrating this weekend. I want to talk a little bit about George Washington. Now, George Washington, you know, was our first president. He was a general of the army. He invested a lot of his own money. As a matter of fact, you know, like I said, the forefathers, many of them come out of the war broke. A lot of things, they paid a heavy price. Now, history kind of says that George Washington hypothetically lost more battles than he won, but he won the ones that counted. And I believe we need to see that. Maybe you're here today and you've lost a few battles. Maybe you've struggled through life a little bit and you've had some things that maybe don't go your way. But I'll tell you what, there's some battles in life that really count. And those are the ones that we really need to fight. And we need to fight to get that so that we win. You know, I know sometimes it feels like we take two steps forward, one step back. You know, just that's the way life is sometimes. Now, history also says that maybe George Washington didn't have the best military mind. But one thing that he had, he believed in what he was fighting for and he refused to quit. And see, that's the same spirit that you and I need to have when it comes to following our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to believe in what we're fighting for. We're fighting for souls. We want to see people come into the kingdom of God. We want to see people's lives changed. And we want to follow God to the best of our ability and just keep heading after Him. One thing about George Washington, you know, going against the British, I mean, we can't really fathom that in our mind now, but, you know, the British was a big army, and they had a lot of ships. So really, when he started this war, when they said, it's one thing to run your mouth, but it's another thing when you have to back it up. See, Washington was outnumbered, he was outgunned, he lacked proper provisions, and also he was surrounded by British spies that were infiltrating around him. But yet he pressed on. Even in the face of adversity sometimes, we have to press on. Even though the odds may not look like sometimes that they're in our favor, but we have to press on. We have to keep going. You know, you heard a lot about, you know, maybe Valley Forge and, you know, how they went there for the winter. At one time, in the dead of winter, one third of his army never had shoes. And that's in the winter. I can't hardly walk across my yard without shoes. You know what I mean? My feet are so tender anymore. But one third of his fighters never had shoes, but they pressed on. They kept going. See, in the face, see, what was supposed to happen is when they started this country, the different states were supposed to fund the war, but some of them weren't coughing up what they're supposed to be doing. But they pressed on. They knew what they had to do, and they believed in what they were fighting for. I think that also what makes our country great is that you and I are probably the same way, that we thrive when we're told we can't do something. I don't know about you, but you tell me I can't do something, game on. You know, I'm ready. You know, I'm going to prove you wrong if I can. I'm going to show you that I can do it, even if we're faced with something that hypothetically can't be done. Just think about sending somebody to the moon. I mean, who in their right mind would want to do that? But we did it. We sent somebody to the moon, you know, because they said it couldn't be done. You can't do that. Oh, yes, I can. And see, it's that never quit, never die attitude is something that you and I need to adopt because it's so easy. You know, Abraham Lincoln, we've talked about him before. You know, I'm not going to talk a lot about it. But one of the quotes that he had was, success is going from failure to failure without losing enthusiasm. You know, he had some ups and downs in life, but he did a lot of great things. And even in the face of losing and having things go wrong, he kept the enthusiasm, a can-do attitude that, hey, help is just coming just around the corner. It's just over the next hill. I just got to get there. And see, that's the desire that we need to have. You know, it took brave people to make us free, and it's going to take brave people to keep us free. Now, bravery starts when we step out of the crowd. That's what we got to do. We got to step out. When the founding fathers, they could have played it safe, just went along with the flow. All of them were rich, but they stepped out from the crowd. And they put their name on a piece of paper that says, yes, this is what I'm doing. It's one thing to run your mouth, but it's another thing when you put your name on the line. And see, that was bravery. They stepped out and stood against one of the toughest fighting machines that there was. See, it's so easy to hide in the mob and just kind of blend in. And that's why we need to stand against the mob. We need to stand out. We need to step up. We need to speak out to the things that need to be done in our great land to bring it back to the place that it needs to be. You know, many people are trying to change history right now. But yet, you cannot change history. You can only change your future. And that's what we need to see. It's not our history that was as important. What's important is where we're going in life. Where are you going in life? What is your desire in life? What do you want to see changed in your life? Maybe you've been raised poor. You don't have to be poor going on. Maybe you've been raised, you know, with a bad attitude. You can change that attitude. We serve a mighty God. He's the God of turning things around and bringing us to a place we need to be. You know, history can only be learned from, and if we don't learn from it, we're doomed to have it repeated. We can only learn from the past, and then try to take that information and navigate through life making proper position for the future. See, history can only be replaced by repentance and forgiveness. That's what it's going to take, repentance and forgiveness. People need to repent of their past. And then the people that they offended need to forgive them. Amen. If they do not forgive them, we're doomed to cycle and cycle and cycle over and over. And that's why we need to turn that around. God has his hand on this land. And the only way we're going to destroy it is if we destroy it from within. No foreign invader can destroy what we have going. But destruction comes from within, and we need to turn that around. And we don't need to quit on our country. We don't need to quit on that. Now I want to talk about Bible heroes. How important it is to see what our forefathers in the faith went through, a couple of them. See, we looked at the forefathers in our country, just a couple. Now we're going to look at two of those. The Apostle Paul is the first one that I want to see, and we're going to look at a couple scriptures about him. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24 and 28. Now, how many here has maybe had some rough times in their life? I mean, you know, a few? Okay. Now, I want you to measure what you've went through compared to this, okay? It says, 5 times from the Jews, I received 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and day I've spent in the deep. I have been on frequent journeys in dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers on the sea. A lot of danger here, ain't they? Dangers among the false brethren. I have been in labor and hardship through many sleepless nights, in hunger and thirst, often without food, in cold and exposure. Apart from such external things, there is the daily pressure on me and concern for all the churches. Now, I don't know about you, but I haven't had that bad a life. You know what I'm saying? If you really think about it, what the Apostle Paul went through to preach the gospel where it had never been preached before. He went there and he had a desire to see people saved and to see churches planted. Now, beaten with rods, I don't know the word rod and the word beaten when you tie those things together. Man, a lot of us would have quit. You know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but a lot of times we base our calling on how easy stuff is. You know what I'm saying? If you're in God's will, it's easy. If you're out of God's will, it's hard. Well, that ain't the truth all the time. You know, Paul was in God's will, but yet he went through these things. Then the next passage I want to look at is in the next chapter, 2 Corinthians 12, 9, and this is talking about his thorn in the flesh, and he said, "And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me." Here is the key, the secret to what Paul learned in his life is the power of grace working in our life. God's grace, God's unmerited favor, God's grace to help us to overcome all the adversity and all the problems that seem to come our way. Life is not fair all the time. Things happen out of our control. There's a bad devil out there. And if there's not a bad devil, there's bad people out there. And if there's not bad people out there, sometimes we do stupid things. Right? We've all done some stupid things. So things come our way. You know, that's very difficult. And one thing about Paul, he was a driven man. He was an all-in kind of guy. To me, he made the Terminator look like a pansy. You know what I'm saying? You know, the Terminator in the movies, he just wouldn't die, just wouldn't quit, would he? Just when you thought you had him dead, he'd just raise up again. Well, the Apostle Paul, you couldn't keep him down. I mean, he had been beaten. He had been with whips and with stones. Stones were thrown at him, and then with rods, and I mean, floating around the ocean, and all these things. But he just kept getting up. He just kept quit. He wouldn't quit. He knew what he was doing was so important that he couldn't turn back. Do we have that same motivation? Do we believe as Christians that what we do is so important that we can't quit, we can't turn back? We have to keep pressing on towards that calling that God has put inside of us. We just got to keep coming one step after the other. See, Paul lived for Jesus and he died for his church. You know, it's one thing to give your heart to God, but it's another thing to give your head. See, Paul was beheaded. That was probably how he was killed. As a Roman citizen, they considered that merciful way of dying. Of course, the other option was being nailed to a cross, I mean, where you suffer greatly. But what they did, they would cut off their head with a sword. And it was a quick death. So they considered that merciful. So Paul not only gave his heart, but he gave his head. He gave his life for the gospel. He would not turn back. He would not quit. He would not recant, saying, you know, a lot of times they give him a chance. Hey, just renounce Jesus and you'll be okay. You know, just renounce him. You know, don't tell any more about this Jesus stuff. But how can you lie? When you know the truth and the truth lives inside of you, how could you recant? See, it's times, you know, that life's hard. Sometimes, you know, Paul, he never had anybody on his side other than God. At any one given time, both the Jews and the Gentiles both hated him. Both of them hated him. They were both trying to rip him limb from limb. They were both trying to put him to death and to silence him. And, you know, I know there's times in our life, you know, sometimes, you know, not all the time, I hope, but sometimes, have you ever just felt like everybody was against you? No matter where you went, people at work were against you. People at home were against you. It seemed like your family and friends were against you. And sometimes that's just the way it is. Sometimes the devil just gets enough things stirred up in your life that, you know, he's just trying, just like Job, what Job went through. You know, Job was a very rich man and had a lot of stuff, but then all of a sudden, you know, God allowed Satan to come into his life, and he said, you just can't kill him. But he took all his stuff, killed his kids, took his stuff, put sickness on his body. Job's wife, God bless her heart, said, why don't you just curse God and die? You know, that's the kind of people you need in your camp, don't you? You know, no. But Job wouldn't quit either. See, life is not easy all the time. You know, sometimes like that, you know, we need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. That sometimes is our only chance that we have, is that we have to grab a hold of God and not let go. Because the Bible says he'll never leave us or he'll never forsake us. You know, I just had a beautiful time with the Lord yesterday morning and just seemed like the Spirit of God kind of rested on me there for a couple hours and just kind of was really basking in his presence. But I needed that. I'm not saying I felt like quitting or anything. I've been kind of on a roll lately, I think. Things have been going pretty good. But you know, that's just an extra dose of the Holy Ghost for me. You know, I just love them days when things like that happen. They don't happen every day, but boy, when they do, it just kind of makes you want to keep pressing on. You know, now we're going to look at Jeremiah for a minute. There's I'm just going to read one of the scriptures, but all around this, it kind of tells the story a little bit. Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 9 says, but if I say, I will not remember him or speak any more his name, then in my heart it becomes like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I'm weary of holding it in, and I can't endure it. See, Jeremiah, I don't know about you, but he preached at a time when nobody wanted to listen. Have you ever felt like that? Maybe you work with people that you've been trying to witness to. Nobody wants to listen. Maybe you live with your family members and you're around them. You try to share the truth and the faith of Jesus Christ and nobody wants to listen. That's the way it was for Jeremiah, and that was for most of his ministry. I mean, we may go through seasons like that, but he endured this for a long time. And he was kind of feeling like, you know, why should I keep bothering? Why should I go on? Well, we all know the answer. There's something inside of us. It's the Spirit of God. Said there was a fire burning inside of him. And he had to go on. And see, sometimes that's what we need to see in our heart, that we just have to go on. You know, he would get a word from God and nobody would obey it. And you know, like I said, you know, sometimes ministering get hard, but you know, God calls us to do the work of an evangelist. God doesn't say that we'll ever lead anybody to the Lord, but God tells us to sow seed. He tells us to go out and to share the truth and the life and the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And then let the Holy Ghost do the work. Amen? Let the Holy Spirit bring conviction. Let the Holy Spirit draw them in and to bring inspiration in their life that they want to get close to God. Because that's really how it works. All we're supposed to do is to sow seed because we can't keep that in. We can't deny that faith. So don't quit sharing the faith of Jesus Christ. I like the old saying, don't just keep the faith, spread it. That's what we're supposed to do. You know, a lot of times people tell you, keep the faith, you know, don't backslide. Don't fall away. Don't give up. But, you know, it goes a step further saying we need to share that faith. You know, we need to spread it. Now I want to look at the idea of what it means for you and I. We've looked at our forefathers in the faith, in the Bible, and we've looked at our forefathers for this country. Now, what does that mean for you and I? Let's bring it a little more personal about the life we live and the idea of what it means to be a quitter or somebody that follows through. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9 says, "Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time, we will reap if we don't grow weary." We have to hold on to that. We have to hold on to that. You know, follow through will bring breakthrough. We just can't quit. You know, I believe that some people quit just short of their blessing. And I've seen it time in, time out. They'll do it for a while, and then when it gets tough, or maybe they get discouraged, and they just pull back and they want to quit. And I believe that blessing was right around the corner. I found out that once we start quitting becomes too easy. It becomes too easy in our life. You know, a lot of people run from their problems. I've seen a lot of people, you know, over the years change their geographical location, but they didn't change what was inside of them. And when they went to the new geographical location, the same problems they had here, they had over there. Moving doesn't make it better all the time. What happens is that change has to happen. We can't quit. You know, sometimes we need to stop focusing on being first and just focusing on finishing. See, we live in a culture where if you're not first, you're last. But we need to change that in our mind. As a Christian, we're supposed to just finish our race. Don't worry about being first all the time. That'll come. For now, just focus on finishing what God has called you to do and run your race the way that you're supposed to. The Bible says to swear by our own hurt. That means when you make a promise, you follow through. I believe that if you said you'll be there, be there. I believe that if you said you'll do something, right? If you do that, you're going to start to see that the blessings of God are going to start chasing you down. When we start honoring our word, we expect God to honor His word, but then we don't expect to honor our word. It doesn't work. It has to be all tied together. Everything has to be focusing and running together so that it works. See, quitters make excuses and finishers find solutions. You know, I like people that find solutions to problems. You know, when they say it can't be done, well, find a way. Find a way. God will give you a way. You know, I like Caleb in the Bible. That's why we named one of our sons Caleb. See, Caleb was getting older in life, and I mention this quite frequently, but you know, while other people his age were being put out to pasture, he was looking for the next hill to conquer. And see, that's what we need to have that attitude. I know we can't do this 24/7, but I do know that we need to keep ourselves surrounded with people of like precious faith to be able to keep us on fire and to keep us on track so that we can help each other fulfill the potential that God has put inside of us. And I watch people that drop out of church and their spiritual life just starts to diminish. But I've watched people who press on in the faith and are hanging around people of like precious faith. And they press on and they press in and they start to accomplish more things for the kingdom of God. That's just how it works. That's how God intended it. See, Caleb was a finisher. As we get older, we need to decide how we want to finish in life. You know, maybe you're getting older in life. I say we need to finish strong. I think we don't need to be put out to pasture, but let's find that next hill. What's the next thing that God wants for you to do? What's the last thing God wants you to do that you haven't done yet? Right? So we need to find the answer to these things, because deep down inside, we each have a destiny. I don't know about you, but that means a lot to me. That God, in His infinite wisdom, has a plan for my life. And He has a plan for your life. And we need to be destiny driven. We don't need to stick our finger up and compare and see what everybody else is doing, but what's God want you to do? What's God want me to do? What is it that we want to fulfill for His glory? What changes do you want to be seen that will happen? Because, you know, I believe that people who know their purpose will never quit. Once we know the why, we don't worry about the if anymore. I don't worry about the if. I know the why. I know why God has put me here. I know why God wants me to do the things He wants me to do. So the finished product is really up to God also. I just do what He tells me to do. And I let the results in God's hands. As long as I do my part, I believe that God will do His part. And we need to hold on to that. You know, God has placed inside of us, each of us, a gift that it's something that you and I, each of us, are supposed to accomplish while we're here. Whatever that gift may be. I don't know your gift. I can kind of guess on some of you a little bit, you know, what it pertains to, because I've been around you. I've watched you minister. I've watched some of the things you've done. But really, deep down inside, it's something that you and God need to work out together. Your personal relationship with Him. See, we need to be destiny-driven and not destination-driven. And this is what I mean by this. You know, it's what we learn along the way that makes the difference. See, a lot of times we focus on, let's say we're going on a trip. Let's say we're going to Denver. And we just think about Denver. And then on that trip along the way, you know, unless we make it to Denver, we're not really in our destiny, kind of. See, the problem is we need to look at where we're at now, because if we just focus on a place, we will not have joy until we get there. But if we focus on a calling, we're going to have joy on the journey. And see, there's a lot of joy that God wants for you and I to have, because it's that joy, that little steps of success along the way, that will give us the joy that we need to be able to keep on going. So look at the gift inside of you. What has God called you to do? What does He want you to do? See, God will never give up on us. You have to remember that. I know sometimes it feels like He has. We've all had, you know, our little problems in life, and maybe we have a string of failures that have been tied together, and those things happen. Like I said, sometimes it's the devil, sometimes it's just us making bad mistakes. But whatever the case may be, you know, we need to not allow those things to hold us back, because, you know, we can easily think, well, you know, God's given up on me. But I want you to know that God will never give up on you, and we should never give up on ourselves. Because when you give up on yourself and you give up on God, that's when we're devil prey. We're like that little baby antelope out on the desert, just waiting to be eaten. And that's why we need to stay connected and stay built up. See, maybe we have a history of being a quitter. Decide today that you're not going to quit again. It's simple as that. I know it sounds so simple. But decide today that I'm not going to quit. If I said I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If I said I'm going to read the Bible X amount of times this week, do it. It don't matter what's on TV. It doesn't matter what your friends want to do. It doesn't matter how tired you feel. If you want to change your spiritual disciplines and want to get better in life, you know, just decide to do it and go do it. You know, like I said, you know, that history can only be erased one way, by repentance and forgiveness. It's as simple as that. And once we get that in our mind, that's the way we, you know, them string of failures, just repent. Even if you don't think it was your fault. You know, that's what's hard, ain't it? Well, so-and-so did this to me, so until they say they're sorry, I'm holding on to that. Well, guess what? They may not even know what they did. And you're the only one in pain. They're just living the high life. You know, just repent, forgive. Because that is what brings freedom to our life. See, God can count on me and the church can count on me. That's how we need to see it. That's how faithful we need to be. You know, in honesty, there are people that we count and there are people that we count on, ain't they? If you probably look on your Facebook post, or if you have Facebook, or if you think about what's going on in your life, you can probably count all the friends you have on Facebook. But can you count on them? No. Can't count on them, can you? I know there's people in my life, I count. I got this many people I know, but, you know, there's a smaller percentage of them that I can really count on. If I really need something, if I ask them, they'll never say no. I can count on them. And I hope you have some people in that. See, the people that won't quit on you, we need, but hopefully also we won't quit on them. That's important, isn't it? Are we the kind of person that won't quit on somebody? And I want to ask a difficult question. Are we the kind of person that is only counted, or are we the kind of person that can be counted on? And this ties in with quitting. You know, are we a quitter? Are we only there when it's easy? You know, because life is messy. Feelings come out, right? People get hurt. People get offended. People misunderstand things. So do we run out or do we run in? We can't quit on people. We can't quit on ourselves. And we can't quit on God. We need to press on. So when it gets hard, we need to honor our commitment and see it through to the end. I believe with all my heart that's God's will. When we say it, we follow through unless they let us off the hook. Follow through. Don't be a quitter. I want to read that scripture we started with in the beginning. Philippians 3:13-14 says, "Brethren, I do not regard myself as laying hold of it yet, but one thing I do. I forget what lies behind and reach forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal of the prize, the upward call of Christ Jesus." See, Paul, I believe, was the kind of person that would witness and try to get somebody saved who had just beat him with rods or had whipped him. See, we need to forget what lies behind us, all the failures that we've had. Because we serve a good God, a loving God. And no matter, you know, we can't just blame our parents. We can't just blame our circumstances. We just need to let go of things and grab a hold of God. Amen? And let Him take us to where we need to be. Let's pray.